I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Number one.
Miss any part of the show?
Every moment of every show is available in podcast form.
By searching Hanson Scotty on your favorite podcasting platform or online at kslsports.com. This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Kicking off your 1 o'clock hour, Hanson Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone, live here at Tim Daly Mazda, 10785 South Audemars Drive. You come down here, we'll hook you up with all kinds of goodies. I'd give some candy to Lloyd, but he's got the beat us, so we can't do that. But we got all kinds of other gear ready to go for you.
Plenty of it.
Got jazz shirts, hats, all kinds of
stuff. And if you are dealing with that, we do have a veggie tray.
We do have the veggie tray, yes.
Save me some of that.
The veggie tray's looking good. It's got some ranch dip, got celery sticks, carrot sticks, got some broccoli bushes, and you've got some cauliflower.
Because when people think of this show, they think of a veggie tray.
Health and good choices.
We're the ones that were handing out ice cream to Kurt Heelan in 20-degree weather before the All-Star game. Kurt Heelan joins us now from NBC Sports and ProBasketballTalk.com. Kurt, how are you?
Hey, Kurt.
Hello, Kurt.
Hear me? Well, I don't know.
There we go. Now we got you.
There we go. Okay. Kurt, I'm just saying, I think I need to work in more veggie trays in my life. So.
Could you imagine having Fat Boy access every day? Like those ice cream sandwiches staring you down every single day.
See, yeah, that probably wouldn't go well for me. it's bad enough just having carbs around the house, let alone adding like pure...
When we got acquired by Bonneville, the company we work for now, we walk into studio and they have this chest freezer that is filled with these ice cream sandwiches. And they said, by the way, it never runs empty. And Hans and I go, just wait.
We'll challenge you.
You challenge accepted.
Scotty and I have emptied it 3 times. It does refill within a week or two, but we have emptied it. We've actually taken the last sandwich out of it a couple of times. So we did put it to the test, and Kurt, you helped us out one day.
Yeah, so, I do what I can.
So, Kurt, there's a lot to get to. First off, let's talk about Paul George. The initial prognosis is a sprained knee, out 2 to 3 weeks before it'll be reevaluated. But boy, it sure looked a lot worse than that.
Yeah, obviously this is we hope he's back for the playoffs. timeline. I was with you. He not only last night, I mean, not only did he have, he couldn't put weight on it walking off the court, but he was being carted out to his car, like with his leg extended. It didn't look good last night in the building. And, this is as good an outcome as you, I'm assuming they're not lying to us. This is good an outcome as you could hope for, because in theory, then he would be back for the playoffs, especially if they can hold on to a top 6 seed. So you get that last game on April 9th, but then you don't play again basically for a week till the 15th or 16th, depending on the schedule. They were going to need every bit of that time, I would think, to get him anywhere close, wouldn't you think?
I would think so, yeah.
The level of hyperextension on that,
yeah,
I would put a lot of Skittles on the fact that he's not going to be back for any postseason play. That was a severe hyperextension.
Yeah, it looked a lot worse. And like you said, this may be the positive outcome, and he may try to play, you know, they might try to get him back, but it's going to be tough. And then that gets back.
Looks like we lost you there, Kurt. You still there? All right, we'll see if we can get him reconnected there. Kurt Heelan, NBC Sports and ProBasketballTalk.com right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. But Hans is our resident physician and host of Doc Talk.
Come on, man. I'm not a doctor, but I do play one for an hour or so on air every month.
My guy knows the injuries.
Yeah, this was as bad as it comes. As far as hyperextensions are concerned, he looked like a flamingo's leg. It bent the wrong direction. He was coming down off a rebound, and we got some of the details of it in the ugly, I think, for today. But those knee hyperextension, when your knee goes the wrong way, it damages so many things, ligaments, and muscles, and it can damage the cartilage if you really hyperextend bad enough. It just, the way that thing hyperextended made me think he doesn't have a chance of coming back. So, Kurt, if Paul George doesn't come back from this injury, are the Clippers pretty much washed up and done at that point?
Yeah. I mean, their whole system is built around two wings with the right complementary players around them. And they'll still have Kawhi Leonard. They will still have, again, that host, you know, they can play bigger, they can play smaller. They've got some shooting. They've got some secondary shot creation and stuff, but they don't have it, – it's based around – the idea is that those two guys were going to drive the offense most nights. And I guess, you know, they've got Russell. I got Russell Westbrook, but, I mean, is that what you're leaning on?
You can pretty much just stop right there with they've got Russell Westbrook, and I think there's your answer right there.
I in a West where I don't think there's going to be any easy series, and they're, if it were today, they'd be in the 4-5 with Phoenix, yeah, and Kevin Durant. I just that's a bad matchup on a good day, and without George, without him, George, a two-way player, by the way, that's the other thing they need him. He can defend too, like that's part of how they're built. So. Yeah, it's a bad sign. Even if he's slowed, even if he's comes back with a brace on and a, you know, neoprene or whatever, and he's at 75% of himself, that's not going to be good enough.
So, Kurt, when you look at this Jazz team, and we, you know, obviously before the season started, we were prepping for a tank, and it never happened. And then Danny Ainge guts the roster at trade deadline. And yet, even without, you know, a spell of no Clarkson, no Sexton, and last game, no Lauri Markkanen, this team still beats Boston and the Sacramento Kings in back-to-back nights. Now they get, a game that they probably should win against Portland coming up tonight. And we're looking at this lineup, and the Jazz now are, you know, at 35 wins. They've got Oklahoma City, Dallas, and Minnesota above them with 36. Golden State at 37. The Clippers now without Paul George at 38. Like, honestly, like, we don't know what to think about this team. We're all prepping for the lottery, but now it appears like there's a good chance this team could be in the playoffs in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, I know. I'm not sure it's a lottery or a pure lottery team. I mean, making the play-in seems very possible to likely. The team, you know, like you said, the Lakers are behind them. Obviously, they want to get in, but they're, we'll be polite and just say up and down. But, you know, Portland's a mess. And they are capable of winning any one particular game because Damian Lillard is still playing out of his mind. He's just had this phenomenal season. Everything around him has not worked this year the way they'd hoped, both due to injury and just, they weren't that good to begin with. I don't think they were as good as they thought they were internally. So, they're getting close to, like, I think you can break their spirit. Let me put it that way. Like, if you can get a lead on them, they're close to shutting Lillard down. They're just realizing this isn't going to happen for them this year. And their spirit's a little bit broken, which is what, frankly, in Utah's case, that's a good time to catch a team.
Help me understand what Damian Lillard's future is, because his contract runs all the way out to 2026-27, and in that moment, he's got a player option at $63 million. I feel like that makes him more difficult to trade, more difficult to move. Maybe less teams would be interested in carrying that type of number for that long. Yet Portland doesn't seem to be done with him. How does this work out with Damian?
First off, I'm going to go out on a limb and say he picks up that option. I feel pretty good about that one. It may be a few years out, but I feel comfortable with that. I don't think they trade him right now. Look, ultimately, it comes down to him. He is the talisman, the icon of that franchise. They are not moving him unless he asks to be moved, especially considering this team is going to get sold within the next handful of years. The part of the will of the late Paul Allen was that some of the, not just the Trailblazers, but also some of these other assets be sold off. And then the money goes into these charitable causes. You want Lillard around, even at that price. Like, he brings in sponsors and he fills the building, and so you want him around. They're not going to move him unless he asks out. He is not asking out in the short term. So my guess is he might very well be there the whole time, even if they don't win. Maybe the last year of that, you could talk about him trying to jump, but you were kind of getting to the point, which is, I don't know how much I want to pay him that much 3 years from now. Like, there's value in him next year. He's an All-NBA player this year. He will make my All-NBA, the brutal NBA All-NBA guard list, which is a discussion for another day. But he's been one of the four or five best guards in the league this year easily. And you can get value for him now, except he doesn't want to go anywhere and they don't want to trade him. So I think they're, what I've been told is, look for them to try to make a big swing this summer. They've got Anthony Simons, Shaedon Sharpe, a bunch of picks, like good young players, a couple of picks, and pick your superstar du jour who asks out. You know, there's a million and five rumors about who that could be. They're going to take a swing. They're going to try to jump into that mix and see if they can get somebody to play with Damian and try to win. We'll see how that goes, but I think that that's more likely, and them trying to make plays around him and them keeping him is probably where this is headed.
It's funny, like, you know, we get to a point where now we get after Kevin Durant or whoever who leaves the team or forces a trade. But the one guy who I think could force it, or if he were to force a trade, everybody would be like, yeah, we get it, that's cool, would be Damian Lillard. Like, if he actually went out and said, like, you know what, I want to go chase a ring, everybody would be like, yeah, you know what, go get it. You deserve it. Absolutely. Go. Because he's been so loyal and such a good soldier for that team, and certainly deserves it. Any update, and what are your thoughts on Kevin Durant in Phoenix and what that situation is looking like?
There's not been much updates out of it. It sounds like they're going to try to bring him back with a handful of games left, maybe after the first of the year. After the first of April somewhere, when they have three, four games left, and try to get him a couple of games with the team before they head into the playoffs. But they keep, what I've heard is that, look, they're looking at the West like everybody else and going, we got a shot here. It's not like if this were the East and they were doing this and they're looking up at Milwaukee and Boston and thinking, man, I don't know if we can get past them on our best day, and now we don't have the chemistry and stuff, and do we bring him back? They're looking at this West and thinking, why not us? And so the plan is to bring him back with a couple of games left and take their swing. Think that they've got a chance with him and Booker and Chris Paul. Even with the questions about the depth and the lack of time together, guys, we've talked about this before, like, who in the West scares you?
Well, the Minnesota Timberwolves aren't one of them, I can tell you that.
No.
Carl Anthony Towns coming back tonight against Atlanta. I went back and looked at their record before he went out in the latter parts of November. They were 10-11 with him on the court. They were struggling to find their stride. I know that they've gone through the trade deadline and brought in some talent since, but what happens with Karl-Anthony Towns coming back at this point in the season where they sit ninth and they need a couple of wins to make sure that they're even in that play-in?
That's a good – see, that, I think that's really – you kind of hit the nail on the head. That was very good, Hans. They did the – they need – not only did they need wins, but, like, this team wasn't clicking. And then Towns is – I mean, Towns is out. Edwards takes on a larger role. They bring in Mike Conley. Conley, at least, is a better facilitator, pure point guard than D'Angelo Russell is. Like, he fits in a little better. But throwing Towns back in and getting him touches now is just going to be, I don't know, it just feels disruptive to do this with, you know, 10 games to go in the season and think you can make a push. I think they might make the playoffs, but isn't it just hard to bring this all together again? Like, hey, by the way, here's a guy who's going to want touches almost every time down. Let's throw him back in the offense. It's going to get weird, especially with Edwards. Edwards is out right now, but he'll be back in a couple games. He's been getting more touches. Doesn't it feel like a weird fit? Like they're still trying to figure out where the puzzle pieces go?
Seems like I know Karl-Anthony Towns brings everything back, but it feels like this team is still going to be struggling to find themselves in that play-in.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I think, and they very much could be in the bottom half of that play-in, and that's, you know, for Utah, where, like you guys said before, everybody came into the season thinking you'd be chasing Wembanyama. Like, hey, we got in the play-in. Like, that's something. But if you're – there's a huge difference even within the play-on. But if you're 7 or 8 and you only have to win one game to get into the playoffs, it's very different than being 9 or 10 and having to win two. At least one of them on the road. It's a much tougher haul. So that would be a huge – either one of those, but that one in particular would be a huge disappointment for Minnesota considering – in the offseason trade for Rudy Gobert, where I think they gave up everything, and to not have this kind of result is troubling.
If I took you back to September and said that the Minnesota Timberwolf pick would be the worst of the pick with the Jazz, I mean, that would be, I don't think anybody would have bought into that at all, but no, exactly. Here we are with that being a distinct possibility.
Man, that'd be weird.
That's funny. Well, the funny thing was, there was, the Lakers have now played well enough, and the Pelicans have fallen off the map. And suddenly you're like, I guess I don't know. Are they swapping picks after all? Like, if you said that 2 weeks into the season, be like, oh, the Pelicans are going to get a great pick out of this. And I was like, maybe not.
So, obviously, Walker Kessler's getting a ton of attention here, and he should. He's earned all the accolades and everything. But there is another rookie that's just very quietly put together a really good first season. He had a career high the other night. What are your thoughts on Ochai Agbaje and what the future may hold for him?
He was one of those guys coming in where there was a lot of, like, there were a couple scouts that I knew who were like, this guy's going to be good. This guy's going to be really good. And I was, you know, not as knowledgeable about him, but I think they've done a great job of bringing him along, right, and giving him not overwhelming him with opportunities, not just throwing him in the fire, but bringing him along at a pace where he's getting more and more. And he looks like a player, doesn't he? Like, he really does look like somebody who, I mean, has the pedigree. Just looks like a guy who can fit in it and be part of whatever this is going to look like in 3 or 4 years. It's going to be, you know, different than now, obviously. But he looks like the kind of young player, along with Walker Kessler, where you're just like, whatever we're doing, they're a part of it. Like, they'll fit in, and we can make this work. And that's huge, considering what's ahead. And, you know, we'll see what draft picks come in and what happens with Lauri Markkanen over time. But you ultimately have to have those players. You have to have those – you have to draft well if you're going to make this kind of thing work.
Kurt, would you ever be willing to throw a Coach of the Year vote Will Hardy's way?
Lower on the ballot, I think Mike Brown's probably got going to get the top spot and deserves it. Like, I was optimistic about the Kings, and I did not have them as a 2 or 3 seed. But I think he deserves some credit there for what he's built and the culture. And you can see the foundation of what's coming. Sometimes in these cases, guys, I feel like Coach of the Year, except in like Mike Brown's case, but often for teams that are building, it runs a year or two behind. Like all of a sudden you're like, hey, this guy's done a really good job. He's building something. And then the next year they kind of break through and he gets recognized when the breakthrough happens rather than necessarily, and I don't want to call it a lifetime achievement award, but like a multi-year achievement award as opposed to he had the one really good year. So he might get some votes this year, I think, to get some votes just because it's tough. It's outside of, I think Mike Brown wins it, but it's a really deep field this year. Coach of the Year is always like, to me, like the hardest ones to pick just because I'm not in the locker room and there's just a multitude of guys who have done good jobs this year.
Are we going to see Zion's been cleared for activity, but we'll miss at least two more weeks? New Orleans just can't seem to figure out how to get him on the court. What's the overall vibe on him across the league? Because obviously when he's healthy, you see how special a player he is, but you just can't trust him to be out on the court for any significant amount of time.
It's just that. I think that there is a sense of him being a special force, but being, it's just going to have to be managed his whole career. Like he's just the load management, not winning a lot of regular season awards with him necessarily, because he's only going to play 60-ish games a year and accepting that going in, and trying to find a way to get him right for the playoffs. They've come apart at the seams with injuries were part of it, but their defense, which was good early, came apart. Brandon Ingram struggled for a while, especially after he comes back and then missed more time. And the teams, I know you've got them. I think you've got them, you said, coming up in the next few. They're a team that's really, I wouldn't say they're raising the white flag, but they've just not been the team that we saw early in the season. We're like, wow, they're going to be one of the great stories of the season. They've just come apart. And honestly, with Zion, I just think the vibe has been that. I just, everybody's looking at him now as, I don't know, late career Dwayne Wade or Kawhi Leonard right now, which is, yeah, he's amazing when you play him. You know you're not going to get that much out of him regular season-wise.
Kurt, how far did you have Fairleigh Dickinson going in the NCAA tournament? What type of run did you see?
I mean, Elite Eight, right? No. My bracket is surprisingly good. I have 7 of the 8.
No kidding.
I have seven of my Elite Eight still survive.
Jeez, that's really good.
So yeah, and all of my final four. So I had Duke getting upset. A few other things. I'm not leading the pool I'm in now, but I'm the guy with the most potential points left, which is a good spot to be. And by the way, not because of my special knowledge, but because of random luck, frankly. I don't watch – people listening watch a lot more college basketball than I do, but you know how these pools – I used to be in a pool at the when I was – my first job at the Daily News up in L.A. They used to do it against the spread. Everybody puts in a dollar. Like, everybody in the newsroom, you had to pick – all the pro games, all the NFL games, plus like 15 college games against the spread every week. And we're in the sports department, and I've got time, and I'm looking this up, and I'm reading all this stuff. And like the photographer's kid, 5-year-old kid, won it one day. Like, I like Dolphins. I like Bills. You know, like, so it is.
Five-year-old kid wins it.
Well, Kurt, we appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us, and look forward to catching up again next week.
Thanks, Kurt.
Take care, man.
You got it. Kurt Heelan, NBC Sports and ProBasketballTalk.com.
I can't believe he's still got 7 of his 8 and all of his final 4.
Yeah, that makes no sense.
We are going to be kicking off tournament coverage again starting tomorrow, and our 90s action movies tournament will kick off as well. Sweet 16 will get underway for voting, and the Sweet 16 of our 90s action movies tournament is pretty solid. We had some early eliminations that I'm not happy about.
Yeah, wasn't happy about face-off.
But where we're at with the Sweet 16 right now, it's pretty good.
Yeah. All right, Hans Olsen, Scott Girard. We're live here at Tim Daly Mazda, 10785 South Auto Mall Drive. come on by and check out these vehicles. Number one, they're priced to move. Jake and his crew are really going to work with you to make sure that you can get into a vehicle. Incredible interest rate. They've got 150 used vehicles on the lot ready to go. And remember that forever warranty, which means you can drive these vehicles for as long as you want. You can put as many miles as you want. You can own it for as long as you want. And that engine will always be covered. That transmission will always be covered. That's peace of mind, folks, that they give you for free with the Tim Daly family. The other element to this, too, is these Mazdas are great. I drove one of these CX-5s for about a month while I had a car that got hit from behind. And
you really like it.
And I loved it. I absolutely loved it. It was a fantastic ride. Felt really, I mean, you know, it was right in the middle of January. I mean, look, we've been getting snow for 6 months, it feels like, but I drove some nasty stretches through Sardine going up and back from Utah State games, and it cut through that snow like it was nothing.
You put some good miles on that, didn't you?
Okay, we don't need to talk about that here.
Okay, I'm not going to mention the other car that you drove, but you drove another car, and I think you know the one I'm talking about.
Yeah.
It's better than that car?
Yeah.
You like it quite a bit better?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, this thing's super nice, and the tech is through the roof. I don't know if that truck you got, is you have that reverse camera?
Yes.
This thing, you pop in one of these Mazdas and throw that sucker in reverse, that camera is like high def.
Man, see everything.
I mean, it's just automatic. It, you know, it gives you some tech if you like. If you're not paying attention, you kind of slide in the other lane. It kind of gives you a little buzz if you want it to make sure that you stay in your lane. It's a lot of great safety features. Saves you a ton of money at the pump. I mean, it's worth coming down here, checking out. Just take one for a test drive. See what you think.
If you're sick of backing up over a box of baby kittens, try one of these.
Yeah.
You'll never back over a box
camera,
of baby kittens ever again.
And you'll never break somebody's heart at a Maverick.
Yeah, you'll never back over another dog again.
Come on by 10785 South Auto Mall Drive here in Sandy, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson.
He's a former Cougar, a former Indianapolis Colt, an all-around good guy, Hans Olsen.
Right now, I am more buying Slovis than I am selling Slovis, but I am slowly coming along. It feels like a good fit. I do know that he's loving Provo, and I know that he feels like he's a really good fit with this offense, and he likes what he's currently playing in. We've just seen his college career kind of slowly decline since his freshman year at USC. He makes a lot of mistakes, and inside Aaron Roderick's offense, there's a lot of mistakes to be made. So I believe in him, and I'm buying him more than I'm selling him right now. I've got high hopes for him, and I know this, Jake. Keaton Slovis can't carry the bill. This BYU team is going to have a pretty tough season.
Hear Jake Scott and Ben Anderson every day from 10 to noon on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
It's time to saddle up and talk about the winners and the losers. This is the good, the bad, and the ugly. Now, here's the good.
It is your good, the bad, the ugly right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone, all brought to you by Zero Res. Schedule your cleaning online at ZeroRes.com. Anyone who cleans this month, schedule three rooms. Zero Res will clean the fourth for free. It's available for you at ZeroRes.com. Great news this morning, by the way.
Some really good news, and it may help all of us understand what Russell Wilson was going through, not only last year, but even his last couple of years with Seattle before coming to Denver. Russell Wilson has officially addressed a lingering injury that has impacted him for those years.
See,
he went through an arthroscopic surgery on his left knee, according to a lot of different outlets. And he's already begun working out post-surgery. Should be absolutely fine for the start of OTAs later this spring. And by all accounts, what he cleaned up and what he fixed with this arthroscopic surgery is going to get him back to Super Bowl playing Russell Wilson. Lickety split.
I knew that it wasn't Ciara. I knew it wasn't him just being weird. I knew that it wasn't Father Time. It was just a lingering knee injury. Get that thing scoped, get that thing cleaned up, and he'll be back to old Russ.
Yeah, because this explains all the weirdness.
Do you think Hackett's like, you could have cleaned that up for me? You think he's sitting at home? He's like, oh, so now you decide to clean up the knee and get yourself healthy. Thanks a lot for nothing. I had 1 year. I had one chance to show what I could do.
I still can't believe they fired a coach after 14 games.
It was fast.
Like, you have to be really bad in the NFL and to get fired that fast.
He was.
He was.
Really bad.
Oh, and he
coach.
Deserved it. And by the way, they did the absolute 100% right thing.
Oh, they should have given him a little bit more of a chance.
No, Lloyd, come on. Let's be honest. I even think as Raiders fans, we can look at that situation and say,
you got to let the guy grow. Let him learn. He needs to learn things.
If you could have gotten Sean Payton and had the money to buy out and had Walmart money to buy out.
Faster than I could sneeze.
Yeah.
Faster than I could sneeze.
Yeah.
And if I could have, as a Raiders fan, if I could have
Stop saying as a Raiders fan. You can't even say that with a straight face in front of Jake right there. There's no way you can say that with a straight face.
First of all, Jake's not here right now. And Lloyd, you can be honest with yourself and you could say you would take Josh McDaniel and, or sorry, you would take Sean Payton and Russell Wilson right now in Vegas.
Okay. No, I would not take Russell Wilson.
No. All right, Lloyd, no, it's a combo deal. You get Sean Payton and Russell Wilson or McDaniels and Janine Garofalo. Which, what are you taking?
Pretty easy pick, Lloyd.
You have to pick both. You can't cherry pick one. You have to, it's a combo deal. Who do you go with?
Remember, Janine's really good in Must Love Dogs.
Yes.
Oh, you know what the thing is? Janine knows how to win. Janine's a regular season winner. I'm going to go with Janine.
And McDaniels.
Oh my gosh.
And McDaniels.
Because McDaniels sure knows how to win, too. Oh, wait. No, he doesn't. Sorry.
Is it Raiders fans to
disagree
this much?
I can't wait for it to go really poorly for this year.
We got to ask Jake that question.
Yeah.
When Jake comes back.
Yeah.
Because I'm not even kidding. I've been a Raiders fan going back to the Todd Christensen days.
Oh, yeah. And Marcus Allen.
I couldn't pull that trigger fast enough.
The Todd Christensen days.
Yeah. You wearing that Jim Pluckett jersey as a kid?
You are a disgusting individual. You make me sick right now.
Okay, well, what do you think Don Sterling would take? Because I think we both know, don't we?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
He would take Sean Payton, and he would take Russell Wilson, because Russell just fixed a knee that was dragging him down.
Yeah, because that was the problem.
Yep.
Yeah, right.
According to many
You know
reports.
What? I can't wait till he continues to, hey Bronco Country, let's ride. I need more of that.
All right, there's your good. Let's get to the bad.
Now the bad.
Well, I'm excited because you and I are going to kick off a segment, hopefully, on this at 2 o'clock and take a little bit deeper dive into some of these things. But Oregon's head coach, Dana Altman, their head men's basketball coach, just got knocked out of the NIT by Wisconsin and a 61-58 home loss. And he stepped in front of a microphone. And I think he embarrassed himself. I don't know what you think. You and I have not talked about these comments. But I think he embarrassed himself. This is Dana Altman, who has done a lot of good for Oregon for a long time. And I'll talk about the good that he's done. Here he is, post-game, getting after the fan base after the NIT loss.
You know, you see the commitment of Wisconsin makes. You know, they get their cheerleaders, their band. You know, it's...
you know, and we make a commitment, don't get me wrong here, but I mean, you can just see, you know, how important it is, and it was important to them, it was important to me, you know, and you know, I was, you know, what the heck, we should have more people here tonight, all right? I mean, these guys have played hard, okay? 3,300 people, you know, it's not good enough. We you know, and if it's me, then get rid of me. If you need somebody else to be a promoter, do something. But 3,300 people is embarrassing. It really is. I'm not in a very good mood. You can tell that. But
it does speak to a season long issue because this was the lowest attendance you guys have had.
Yeah.
So it's not like you're just saying that.
And that's what I'm saying, James. If it's me, then make the change. Make the change. Somebody will hire me somewhere. I'll go coach junior college ball again. I love junior college ball. Those guys were dogs. They wanted to be in the gym all the time. All right, I love coaching. But 3,300 people for Wisconsin. I was disappointed. So, and I appreciate the people who came. That's 3,300 people who did come. Great. I sure appreciate it. And, you know, the people who have stuck with us. And, but again, you know, I'm not a promoter. You know, I'm not out in the public. I don't have the Twitter and all the stuff. You know, my job's to coach. My job's to get the team and coach them. And, you know, I'm not out there, you know, God, I'm so bad at promoting and doing those things, but you know, we have won 20 games for a long time, and we have been in postseason 13 years in a row. And I know, hey, this is the NIT; it's not the NCAA. I understand that. But our guys work hard, and just a little disappointed. But they're disappointed in us. We didn't win, and so. It works both ways. We didn't win enough games. So I understand the fans' disappointment. But again, you know, I want guys that want to be here and staff that wants to be here. I want to be here. But I want our fans to want to be here too. And, you know, I watched Wisconsin play the other day against Liberty. And, you know, I think they had 10,000 people there, you know. And we had recruits here tonight. We had recruits watching on TV. You know, are we sending the right message? So we got to get better. Our team's got to get better. We just got to do a better job. Our program's got to be better.
By the way, the slapping you heard in the background was him just slapping his, what did you say, Lloyd? Like slapping his knee?
Yeah, his knees. Yep. With both hands, just kept slapping down onto his knees.
You could tell that he was uncomfortable with what he was saying. He didn't want to have to say what he was saying. Just to give people a little bit of background on Dana Altman, he has won 4 conference regular season titles with that Oregon team. He's won 3 Pac-12 tournament titles. He's been to 5 Sweet 16s. He's gotten to 2 Elite 8s. He's had a Final Four team. And he has a 321-140 record going back to 2010. So when he says, if it's me, get rid of me, he knows they sure to hell ain't getting rid of him because yeah. It's really hard to come across a good basketball coach. He knows darn good and well that they're not going to get rid of him. He really wanted to take some shots at the fan base.
That's a scary thing to do because once you tick off your fans, sometimes they don't come back, regardless of how good you are. I saw it last night, and I went through some numbers on Oregon's attendance. I was like, wow, that really was bad, not just that game, but the whole year. And then I took a look at the entire Pac-12, and then I took it a step further and went through the whole Mountain West Conference in addition to the Pac-12. Then I added BYU to the mix, and I'll share that with you coming up at 2:05 because it's pretty shocking.
Men's basketball attendance
this past season in the Pac-12.
Is there some good? Actually, don't answer that. I want you to leave that as a cliffhanger because I'm curious to see what these numbers are. 3,300 people showing up to Was that the Elite Eight of the NIT?
Yeah.
Wisconsin knocked them out?
Yeah, the winner goes to Vegas to go to the Final Four of the NIT, which is, you know, look, it's a big thing. Now, I'll say this, and the reason I bring this up is because I'm close to the athletic department at Utah State. They played in the NIT last year. They had a home game, ironically enough, against Oregon in the NIT last year. And your season ticket base does not – it's not part of their package. And so you have to go out and resell every single ticket to an NIT game. So if somebody has season tickets, that NIT game is not included. Mm-hmm. So you have to reach out to your entire fan base.
And he talked about that. He said, I'm not a marketer.
Exactly. And so it's a little difficult to do. It's not just like, oh, just you had a season tickets, just show up. It doesn't quite work that way. It's really hard on teams in the NIT to go out because your fan base is a little disappointed because it's the NIT, it's not the NCAAs. And you're like, hey, but no, it's a big game. Let's go. We need you here. And you're like, but we're going to need it at $25 a ticket. And I think the NIT actually sets the pricing on it. Mm-hmm. And so there's a few things working behind the scenes, but still, it's Oregon, 3,300. It is embarrassing.
That is embarrassing, but you just... You don't bite the hand that feeds you.
Nope, not at all.
You know, there are some people that are on a team that might think it's okay to undercut somebody. There might be people on a team that feels like, oh, it's okay. I mean, I'll take a shot. I'll navigate it this way. And, you know, maybe that person will be okay if I just swoop in and do something that is unorthodox or...
Outside of protocol. Yeah.
Oh, they'll overlook it because they're good people, I'm sure. And this is an important moment. Screw that. Your team, you just don't take shots like that. You don't do that to your own teammates. That's dirty.
And you're all – and look, and when it's the fans and the team, you're all on the same team. You're all
one team.
You can't – again, I think you said it best. You can't bite the hand that feeds you.
Well, he's a good enough coach that people are going to overlook this.
Yeah.
And I'm sure he'll get Oregon back on base. He was more upset of how it could potentially look to recruits.
Yeah. All right. Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome
Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery.
Just like Walker Kessler's not going to be the rookie of the year, but is pretty deserving of a lot of praise and is pretty deserving on maybe a handful of votes even, and has done more with what he has than what we thought was going to happen. Will Hardy and Walker Kessler, I hope, are always tied together. Like John Stockton and Karl Malone and Jerry Sloan. I think Jazz fans would be lucky enough, and it's wild, too, to think that the success that Quinn Snyder had in the stretch of years that he had here at Utah, that you could be so much like, you know what? I like this guy better.
It's Unrivaled. Afternoons from 3 to 6, presented by G2 Cheat Bars. Perfect for anyone who needs a quick, tasty, and nutritious boost. On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Go!
It's time to span the globe for the hard-hitting news you care about.
Well, not really. But hey, at least we found it interesting.
This is Whole World News on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
We've got the whole world in our hands.
You've got the whole world in our hands. We've got the whole world in our hands.
Hands and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. It is time for another edition of Whole World News. Before we get into it, though, Hands, let's give away some tickets. It's a Win Ticket Wednesday. Caller number 12, 801-575-ZONE. You'll win a pair of tickets to go see Dierks Bentley in concert at USANA Amphitheater on August 11th.
I was actually cracking up with this Whole World News story because this guy used the port of entry right there in Niagara Falls, New York. That one that I tried to get into Canada on.
Yeah.
And I was cracking up because this guy gets through the port of entry. And he gets up to 142 kilometers per hour.
What is that, Jake?
I have no idea.
That equates to
142 kilometers per hour.
Yeah, kilometers per hour. And the cops pull him over, and they come up to him and they said, "So 142 kilometers per hour, huh?" And he goes, Well, I guess I just don't understand the conversion rate. And they said, well, that's over 90 miles per hour. So I don't know.
Some girl at the Taco Bell said it was 55 miles an hour.
Have you heard this story, Jake? So I have my whole family, my four kids and my mom, my wife and I, and we're all at the border in early 2021. And the Border Patrol was like, what are you guys doing here? We're like, oh, I just wanted to get up into Toronto. We wanted to go have some dinner in Toronto, go see Toronto. And they're like, you realize we've been closed for 556 days, right? Do you have any idea? And we were the only car, and they've got like, you know, 20 different ports, and we're the only car. I'm like, man, we really hit this on a good day, didn't we?
All these Mounties have their AR-15s trained on hands.
They did. They pulled me into this collection area. They had like 12 cars in it. They were doing full dog searches on these cars. And I'm thinking, oh, man, we're busted. We're going to be here for an hour. We were there for about an hour and a half, and the guy finally came out. He's like, you follow me. We're going to U-turn right here. I'm putting you back in America, and you tell everybody you didn't come to Canada.
Yeah, but tell him who told him it would be fine for him to go to Canada.
Oh, okay. So we're driving through the Taco Bell.
It's one of those jokes.
in Niagara Falls, which isn't far from the port, and I thought it was the manager. She may or may not have been the manager, and I'm like, hey, so can we get into Canada? She goes, oh, yeah. All you need is a star on your driver's license. I said, so you don't even need a passport or anything, huh? You can just get in. Just a star on the driver's license. And I'm like, all right.
Your first mistake.
Here we go.
Listening to a Taco Bell person tell you it's good to go. Yes. And as you drove away, they laughed.
And here's your chalupa, sir.
Oh, I'm sure.
They laughed hysterically. They're like, oh, this guy's going to go get arrested.
I'm sure. It wasn't quite as violent or aggressive or scary as the southern border going into Mexico a couple years ago, but them not letting us in and then berating us. Oh, and then I got berated back at the American border. The lady, we pull up and she's like, what happened? I think you know what happened. And she started laughing. She's like, you really thought you were going to get into Canada? I'm like, well, I didn't know. I had no idea. Well, out of towner. But what I wasn't going to do is get into Canada and go 142 kilometers an hour.
It's probably for the best.
Anyways, that guy was arrested. His car was impounded. And then he was booted promptly back out of Canada. And his car was kept in Canada, so he has to go back. His driver's license is suspended for 30 days. So after he gets his driver's license back, he can go into Canada and go get his car back. But
impound fees on that is going to be ridiculous.
Boy. Yeah.
It's a 30-day impound.
That's not good.
Don't speed in Canada.
You know, you always hear that Canadians are like super nice and be like, "Hey, take off, eh?" But no.
Don't ruin our show.
My brother's drunk, eh?
I'd kiss you, but I got puke breath. Eh? Come on, Jake, tell me you're getting those references. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right.
Strange brew.
Jake's hanging out with us. We're live here at Tim Daly Mazda, 10785 South Auto Mall Drive. Come on by, hang out with us. All right, so Jake, here's the thing. You've got these Mazdas all priced to move. You got incredible interest rates. I just want somebody to come on by here and test drive one of these Mazdas. Because if you're like, huh, you know what? I haven't really thought of a Mazda. Okay, you owe it to yourself because I was the same way until you let me drive one for a couple weeks. These suckers are really fun to drive.
They certainly are. Like, you need to come out and just try. You come down here, check it out, drive it, see what you think. You know what I mean? A test drive's free, right?
Yeah.
Come sit in the car, drive it, see if that's something that even you like. But here's the thing, I guarantee you, you're going to love these things. You love these things.
Something that we don't do enough. People ought to get out and just test drive cars more. Just come jump in a car.
Absolutely.
Go see what it can do.
What's the worst thing that can happen? Nothing?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, you get to feel the drive of it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And when you drive these cars, it's the road noise is so quiet.
Yeah.
You hardly hear anything. You can vouch for that.
And smooth ride.
The smooth ride is absolutely incredible. The all-wheel drive, it cuts right through snow. Like, it is just second to none.
So, Scotty, I know you're snobby tech package guy.
Yeah.
You are snobby tech package guy.
I am. I want my Apple CarPlay. I want a great tech package involved, and Mazda's got all of that.
It does. It's loaded with it.
Yeah,
yeah, absolutely. I mean, the tech is crazy. And here's the thing is, you know, we also got a service department that's open. You know what I mean? So that we can do any kind of services on any cars. It doesn't just need to be a Mazda. Come and get an oil change. Come see Andrew. Andrew's one of my service riders.
So anybody just off the street, they need an oil change, just swing on by here.
Yeah, absolutely. Come on in.
Let's go.
Let's take care of you.
I kind of want to get that 626 back and take advantage of the lifetime warranty.
That's right. I'll tell you what. If I sell you a 626, I'll put another lifetime warranty on it for you.
I like it.
You would have got that tranny taken care of a long time ago, bud.
295,000 miles on it.
New tranny. Done.
I can't go in reverse, but I'm going to bring it in. I'm going to get my reverse back and everything.
It was the most classic to see you get out of that car. Hey, can you help me push this car out real quick?
That sucker was beat down. I forgot I had you push me out.
Yeah. Dude's driving around a parking lot looking for a spot that
he
could
pull through.
Yeah.
But that's how much I love that car.
He was stuck in a spot he couldn't.
I love a Mazda, man. That's a good car.
No, I mean, they're fantastic. They're fantastic cars and great reliability, dependability. And as far as, you know, I mean, people think Toyotas are really, you know, great. The Mazdas are sisters, you know what I mean, essentially, with each other. They share technology. And so you know what kind of car you're getting with the Mazda.
Come on by 10785 South Auto Mall Drive. You come by, take a test drive. Just you owe it to yourself to really check out the Mazda brand, and the pricing too is just ridiculous. And the forever warranty, free of charge, thanks to the Tim Daly family. It's all available for you right here at Tim Daly Mazda on 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas,
in the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.